everybody. Come on in and grab a seat. Let's have everybody settle down. We've got a lot to cover tonight. My name's David, and I have a new life in Christ. I'm recovering from control comedy and a cold heart. Hi, everybody. Hey, before we do another great student testimony tonight, I have a few announcements I want to make. I want to give you, these are really reminders of things you already know, but one of the things we haven't talked about since back at our orientation, and that is parking and safety. Just a reminder that we want you to do your best to park like in this area over here towards the tower. And James, I think we have a slide that says the words parking and safety. So, now everybody knows what I'm talking about. If like you're way over on the other side of the church or somewhere and like somebody's trying to direct you away from this building, just stop, roll down your window, say, I am a student and I'm not supposed to walk all the way across campus. I need to park closer to the East Tower. Tell them that. If anybody gives you a hard time, I want you to report them to me. Like take their picture and then just be like, this guy. And then safety, as a reminder, guys, this is not part of your normal life, but when you leave, like when you arrive, you got to check in at the kiosk and check in with your leaders that you're here. And then when you leave, you've got to stay with a step group leader until you get in the car that you drove here or the car that's picking you up. So we don't want you wandering around the campus, going to find your parent or whatever by yourself. We want you to stay with us until you're in a car leaving. So make sure you stay with your leaders afterwards. One other quick update. I had told you about Rachel Wyman and how her soccer team won 12-0 and she didn't score a goal. Rachel, do you want to stand up real quick for everybody? Just go ahead. She's over here in the tie-dye. She was really terrible in that one soccer game, but then it really got her mad. And in the next game, she scored 2 goals. Let's hear it for Rachel, everybody. So if you score any goals in any games, I'm happy to announce it from this stage. Just come let me know. And you can pray for Rachel. They have the semifinals tomorrow in Waco. So, you know, tomorrow, set a reminder in your phone, go Covenant Knights. Am I right? Okay, great. Also, you could come to Shoreline in just 3 short weeks and hear Rachel share her testimony at Shoreline. So we'd love to have you there. One more reminder, this one's quick. If you didn't catch last week, because we had the snowvid, snowpocalypse delay, all of our finish by dates have changed. So you have all of this week to work on getting as much done as you possibly can on your inventory footprint. Those are those charts to fill out in your book. Now, obviously, that's a project that you might not get all the way complete, and you can keep working on it even as you go ahead to other lessons. You can go back and add stuff to it. That's fine, but this is the week that you're really dedicated. Last week, you started it, hopefully, and this week, you're really dedicated to working through that inventory. And so next week you'll come and talk about it and then you'll move on to the next lesson. But we just wanted you to have all these finish by dates. Now, friends, let me welcome to the stage and you guys help me in welcoming Benji Boone to share his testimony. All right, Benji has been, just like all of our student testimonies, through Regeneration for Students. He's going to share with you about what God's done in his life. I'm going to pray for Benji, and then the microphone is his to share with you what God has taught him and how God is working in his life. So, Lord, I thank you so much for this evening. I thank you for so many people that continue coming back week to week that are seeking you by opening up these books that are so full of your word. I pray that they would see and understand your word. I pray that they would walk more closely with you during these weeks than they ever have before, and they would begin walking the steps towards healing with you from this day forward to the rest of their life. Would you use Benji's testimony? Would you give him great clarity and calm as he talks about your story? And I pray that everyone would hear your story and not just Benji's. And Lord, I pray that also you would instruct and guide and comfort and direct each of us tonight through what I'm able to teach from your word from Psalm 139. I pray that you would work in Jesus' name. Amen. So guys, I recognize this so that you know, the people sharing their testimonies can be clear it is best to read what you're saying, but sometimes when someone's reading, you start to get in a rhythm. And so as much as I know the people that are sharing the testimony, I'm just going to do a quick Q&A. I don't want to make you uncomfortable or put you on the spot, but I want everybody just to hear you speaking freely. Yeah. And so something that you emphasized over and over again was the phrase or the term community. And you said biblical community. You have some guys, where are they, that are here with you, that right back there. Yeah. Tonight, we're going to be talking about something you've heard before when you were in here, which is buried bombs, and we're going to get to that. But the second point is the importance of bringing in a bomb squad, and so that's really what your community is. So could you explain to everybody, how do they help you, and how do you help them disarm the bombs of sin and brokenness and hurt that are, buried in your life?
Okay, yeah. So community... you're not a member at Watermark, it's just a group. Okay. So you have a group of guys or girls, depending on who you are. And then we try and meet once a week. So generally it's Sundays, Sunday nights, but today we actually met right before this. And every week we talk about scripture we're reading, and we go through scripture together. We're going through this book, but we actually finished it. It's called Every Man's Battle, and it's really great. It's a really great look into how to deal with lust and all of that. Mm-hmm. So we do that, and then we memorize scripture, hold each other accountable to that, hold each other accountable to our sin, and we talk about that on a regular basis. But then we just, I think one of the most important things is just encouraging one another.
And then you mentioned, were you in a small group, a Bible study, and you noticed these guys, there was something different? Is that what you said in your testimony?
Yes. Yeah, so
what did you notice? And then how did you end up getting connected with them, in a community group in a deeper way beyond small group?
Yeah. So I think in small group, I think there was kind of a hesitation to be fully honest and open. I don't know why that is, but I just could kind of sense that whenever I moved on to community, it just felt more authentic. And it's not that they weren't being authentic there. It just seemed they were more
maybe
committed
less
to
committed.
It. Yeah. And in community, they were more committed to it. So I think that was the biggest thing that I saw.
Did you just ask them, could I join your community group? Or
so, I mean, we're all in the same small group, Lake Highlands. But yeah, I talked to my small group leaders, and we got that all set up.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right, you guys, thank Benji one more time for sharing. Thanks, man. All right, y'all, as he gets out of here, I'm going to give you a heads up. All right. Tonight is going to be, I would say probably, 20, 25 minutes. It's a little bit of a longer talk. And then next week, like I said, you're going to be working on these inventories all week. Next week, you're going to come in, hear a testimony, and then spend the whole time in your group sharing what you've written down on your inventories. But guys, I think I've got a slide for Paige taking notes. It says Paige... Yeah, 44. So I want to encourage you, everybody, turn your books to page 44. You should have a blank page there, and get a pen or a pencil or something. I'm sure Becca and Addison could find pens back in the back if we need extras. This is one I really want you to take notes on. This is a general life principle, though. Psychologists will tell you, if you're trying to remember something, this is free for homework if you're studying for a test. If you rewrite your notes or you write down, answers that you expect to be on the test, you remember better what you manually write down. It's something about the physical act of putting a pen on paper and moving your hand, and it's connected to your brain, that it helps you remember. And so tonight, it's very important, I think, that you remember what I teach. And so you will remember what you write. So write down as much as you can at the top. Here's your title, Buried Bombs. I said it to Benji earlier. I'm talking about buried bombs. He's familiar with it. you guys should be familiar with it. All right, let me back up, remind you guys where we're at. The letter H in the word healing. We start off, our first step is help. We say we're broken, we're powerless to heal on our own, and we desperately need help. Life is hard. I can't do it on my own. And then the letter E that we spent the last 2 weeks talking about. The letter H is I can't. The letter E is God can. Entirely trust God, believing that a powerful and loving God exists. We turn our lives completely over to Him. And then a reminder, last week we warned you, proceed with caution. And this is on page 40. I'm not going to read this whole thing, but if you have fallen behind on your bookwork, you haven't done your lessons on the letter A, and you haven't begun your inventory, this may be a week that you want to talk to your leader and you stay down here at these tables over here and you can get caught up on your bookwork. So this is a free place for you to get caught up. Or if you had all those great questions last week, but you're still not sure that you have a new life in Christ, and you're not sure you can say that in your introduction, and you want to just spend more time talking about your faith and what you believe about God, you can also stay down here, and we'll have four leaders down here to chat with you and answer any question further that you have. So if you're not ready to move on to assess the situation, you can always stick down here, but this is a warning, proceed with caution. So we did the letter H, we did the letter E. Tonight we start the letter A, which is assess the situation. We courageously and thoroughly examine our lives and invite others to walk with us. So I'm going to be explaining assess the situation tonight, why we should courageously and thoroughly examine our lives, and why we should, as Benji described with those five guys that were back there, as Caroline described last week, why we should, beyond the 12 weeks that we have here in this group, invite others to walk with us in life. So we're looking at inventory and confession. There's one scripture, two verses we're going to focus on. I'm going to put it on the screen. Write this down. You find it in your Bible. You underline it. You use a highlighter. You fold down the page. You put a bookmark in there. Psalm 139, 23 and 24. And this guy, he's writing this psalm. Psalms are books of songs and prayers. And so a guy is writing a prayer to God. And at the end of it, he says, "Search me, O God." Like, search, like, look into my life and know my heart. See, the Bible also tells us somewhere else, we're not going to go there, that the heart is deceitful and we can't even understand our own hearts. And so this psalmist is saying, search me, God, and you know my heart. And then I want you to test me and know my anxious thoughts and point out anything in my life that offends you. And then, God, I need you to lead me on the path of everlasting life. So this scripture is the foundation for everything else I want to talk to you about tonight, is this cry to say, God, search my life. Do an inventory of my life. Know my heart. Test me. Know my anxious thoughts and point out anything that offends you so you can lead me on the path to everlasting life. Now, I told you the title was Buried Bombs, and here's where this comes from, is a couple years ago, I found this story on my news app, just kind of like scrolling through on my phone, and this was an incredible story, and I thought, man, that story will preach the truth of God's word. And so here was the story. It's from Smithsonian Magazine, and it's an article about buried bombs. And here was the title. You can see it on the screen. It said, "There are still thousands of tons of unexploded bombs in Germany left over from World War II. More than 70 years after being dropped in Europe, the weapons are still inflicting harm and mayhem." Now, I got told by Benji and a few of these ladies over here that recently, like yesterday on TikTok, anybody following this? That there was a buried bomb that went off in England left over from World War II. Raise your hand if you heard that story. So I'm out of the loop. A handful of you have heard the story. Okay. So there are some in England, but there is way more left over in Germany because they were hit over and over again. But all throughout Europe, here's the situation. During World War II, back in the 1940s, over 1 million tons of bombs were dropped total. And 10% of the 1 million tons of bombs that were dropped, they failed to explode. 10% of them. And so 2,000 tons of buried bombs are uncovered in Europe, mostly in Germany, every single year. So here's what this means. Before any construction project is begun, where they're breaking ground, they're building a new road, they're putting in a new building, they're doing renovation, whatever it is, the ground has to be certified as cleared of unexploded bombs. So just imagine this, like this year, we've all adjusted to this new normal of wearing masks, which many of you are doing right now. In Germany, that's just the norm, is anytime something's built, that's part of the process, is you just gotta think, there might be bombs. There are probably bombs under here, because every year, bombs are found and uncovered, and they are a daily threat. If you don't do something right, people are evacuated, properties damaged, and people are often even killed. My understanding is the TikTok story was a dorm room at a school getting destroyed by a bomb that was found. The dorms were evacuated, but then the bomb detonated and destroyed the building. Is that correct? What happened? And that's what happens in Germany all the time. So why do I share this story and why can it preach? Here's why. This is an illustration of our lives. Everyone has buried bombs in their lives. You have buried bombs. I have buried bombs. Now, what do I mean by buried bombs? So just like the current situation in Germany and all over Europe, the events of your past, all right, those are events from World War II. It was 70 years ago, way in the past, 80 years ago. But 7 months ago, 7 years ago, you have events that have happened in your life that are still buried inside. You haven't gotten them out and dealt with them. They're under the surface. And just like those bombs have the potential to go off when they're triggered and cause destruction, the events of our past have the potential to come back out in our present and cause harm. So some of you, the things that you are struggling with today and this past weekend, they're the product of things that happened in your life a long time ago. The events of your past that are buried have the potential to inflict harm and mayhem in your present. Our past produces things. Let me tell you some of the things. Resentments, fears, broken relationships, guilt, wounds, bad habits, personality traits, weaknesses. All of these things could be products of your past. And here's what we want you to do. We want you to be healthy and safe. So I'm going to tell you three things that healthy people do to disarm the buried bombs that are buried in their life. And we're going to go through these one at a time. The three things are healthy people disarm buried bombs, and we're going to go back through them in case you can't get them all written down. But the first one is this, by digging deep and digging everywhere. The second one is by bringing in a bomb squad, what I talked to Benji about. And then the third one is they do this today before they build any more. All right? I promise these are going to come back up on the screen, but let's start by going through the first one. I want to talk to you about clearing your life of buried bombs, how to build a new, healthy life. So here we go. I told you these bombs, like 10% of them didn't go off. And look at this illustration that was in the article. It showed what the bombs looked like, how they entered the ground. The average depth of buried bombs was 14 feet or is 14 feet underground. And so what they have to do is anytime they do any building project, they have to excavate the entire area of the project 14 feet deep. Here's a picture of them with a digger. They're digging it out. They've got a little a thing down there where they're searching the ground for bombs in this tent. Remember, Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts." So go back like three slides to the first point, which is healthy people disarm buried bombs by digging deep and digging everywhere. This is what I mean by that, is we've got to dig down deep into our heart. That's what this inventory is doing. And we've got to look everywhere, not just at harms to me, things that have hurt me, but harms by me. What are things that I've done in the past that maybe I feel guilty about? Or there's fear that I'll get caught. Or there's fear that there'll be vengeance brought towards me. Or the resentments that I hold, the anger that I hold towards others. What is the source of those things? I want to dig deep and I want to dig everywhere. Because if you're building in Germany and you only dig 7 feet deep and you only dig half of the area, and then you go to put a post in the ground and you hit a bomb and it blows up, you die because you didn't dig deep and you didn't dig everywhere. So healthy people go through the long, hard process of filling out those charts in your book. And in doing that, as you pray Psalm 139, which we'll put back up on the screen, and you say, all right, God, I'm filling out these charts, this inventory. There's these categories. I'm not sure what to write. I need you to search me, oh God. And I need you to know me, test me, and show me where the bombs are in my life. When I did inventory, when I did this exercise and I went through regeneration, I filled out 15 entire pages. And I did it typing. I sent you guys an email this week. I don't know if you got it. There's a Word document. If you'd rather type than write, you can get the inventory and type it up. Here's what my pages look like. I just want to share them with you. This is just a few of them, not all of them. This is page one of my resentments. And you can go back to it. I'll mention those. Like, I resent pornography in general, and then a list of people's names who exposed and shared pornography with me. I resented this guy named Craig and these friends, Jimmy, Johnny, and Jeff. I resented pornography again for a different reason. And different types of things that I was exposed to. Then here's some of my fears that I wrote down. The last of those, I fear any circumstance that I cannot control. I fear any result that's less than an A. I feel like it's failure. I put my fears down there. Then I looked at harms to me, people who hurt me, different categories, what caused it, how I responded, the nature. Because I'm trying to dig deep, and I'm trying to dig everywhere. Not just everywhere, but everywhere and deep. So then I went to the harms by me. These are people that I hurt as I'm looking back. And I'm going, ooh, I feel guilty. I feel bad when I think about these things because I did wrongs to others. The cause, the response, the nature, the idol that that might have exposed. And then I went into sexual sin and ways that I, my body was created in the image of God as a Christian. The Bible tells me that I'm a temple of God's Spirit, that He lives with me. And these are ways that I disobeyed God sexually with my body. And I went through and dug deep and dug everywhere about that. Then, you know, we go to the last category, I think, which is recovery issues. And this is the things that I say in my introduction is control. And then coarse joking is how I called comedy. But man, what are the causes of those things and the responses? And so I did 15 pages and I've got all 15 pages here with me tonight. If it would help any of you, your leaders have theirs. But if you want to find me afterwards and look through mine, you're welcome to guide you on how to dig deep and dig everywhere, which my willingness to show you my inventory and your leader's willingness to show you their inventory brings me to the second point. Healthy people disarm buried bombs by digging deep, digging everywhere, and by bringing in a bomb squad. So we see this in Germany. When they find a bomb, it's not just, okay, well, one guy, drag it out. No, they bring in a bomb squad, somebody who are professionals at disarming bombs, and they don't do it alone. So here's a picture of three of the guys, and they kind of wrap the ropes around it, and they handle it delicately. They get it offsite into a secure environment, and then they disarm the buried bombs. Now, the word squad, you know, several years ago when Instagram really became a thing, and I've been working with teenagers for a long time, hashtag squad was a normal thing to be posted. And usually it was girls, and usually you were at a concert, lake, beach, sports, and every picture, hoco, you were with your friends, and you would say, I'm with my hashtag squad, all right? That's not actually what a squad is. I want to define squad for you, because you can't disarm buried bombs on your own. You need a squad, and a squad is more than a group of people you take pictures with at a concert. Here's what the definition of a squad is a small number of soldiers, commonly 10 privates, a staff sergeant, and a corporal. This is often referred to as the smallest military unit. So you need a group of people who will fight with you and for you. You need a group of soldiers in your life. Friends who don't just make your feed look cuter and make you look better. Friends who will fight against evil that is invading your heart and causing destruction in your life, they will fight for you and they will fight with you in every battle of life. That's what you need for your health. That's what healthy people have, is a bomb squad. And that is why once we fill out this chart, we don't just fill it out and then keep it hidden and locked away like a journal or a diary that no one can ever read. This is something that we confess and we share with others. So confession is an important step right alongside inventory, is sharing it with others to bring in a bomb squad. So I want to tell you three scriptures where the idea of confession comes from. In the book of James, James is actually the brother of Jesus, and he wrote a letter to some Christians, and he encouraged those Christians. He said, confess your sins, not only to God, but to one another. And then you can pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. So tonight and next week, when you're sharing your inventory, I want to encourage you leaders, remind the group, remind each other, let's just stop and pray that God would help you with that and that you would be healed. You confess so that you have other people to encourage you and pray for you. Proverbs 28:13 says this, people who conceal their sins will not prosper. So people who fill out their inventory and never tell anybody what they wrote down, you're not going to prosper. But if you confess and turn from your sins, you receive mercy. You actually experience the love of other people, not judging you and shunning you and turning from you and telling you you're awful. No one in here threw stones at Benji when he shared about his sin tonight. He actually received love, and you clapped for him. You were encouraged to hear what God was doing in his life, even though he's not perfect. And others in your group, as you share with them tonight and next week, they will encourage you and they will strengthen you, and you will receive mercy from them and through them from God. And then 1 John 1:7 says this, if we are living in the light as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other. That means like we have true, genuine friendships because we're fully known. And when you're fully known, then you can actually be fully loved. But until you're fully known, you're not sure what it feels like to be fully loved because there's part of you that isn't known. So you don't know if they actually love all of you or just the parts of you that you've shown. But when you live in the light, you can actually have fellowship with each other. And the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. So these are three scriptures that encourage confession. And then lastly, as we're wrapping up, healthy people disarm buried bombs today before they build. And don't click to the next slide. I want to share this story because the article ends with a story about this guy named Paul Dietrich. And here's Paul Dietrich's story. Is he lived in a house in Germany and he wanted to renovate it. And he wanted to do all the renovations himself to save on money. And he had worked for 10 years renovating his house. And he dug and he did different things, but he never brought in the certified bomb squad to clear his land. He did it all himself, and he did it slowly and carefully for 10 years. And one day, Paul is out for a walk with his dog, and he's probably half a mile away from his house. And it says, while he's walking his dog, he hears an explosion, and he looks over the tree line and he sees smoke, and he begins to make his way back towards his house. And when he kind of comes around the trees through the clearing and he looks to his house, he realizes that there were buried bombs underneath his house. And he hadn't dug deep and he hadn't done everywhere. And whatever happened, the house shifted, something set off a buried bomb. And here's a photo of what happened to Paul's house. Is a huge crater was blown out, and all of his work on the renovation extending off the edge of his house was destroyed. Now, here's why I close with this story of Paul, is this. Healthy people disarm buried bombs today, before they build. You guys are young. You are building your life right now. You're deciding the kind of person that you're going to be. You're deciding what you're going to study. You're deciding what profession you're going to pursue. You're deciding what sort of person you're going to be, what sort of personality, what sort of character, what sort of relationships and friendships and dating and marriage and all those things. You're about to build your life. You're just now getting started on the construction of your foundations. You're young. And so before you go on and build the rest of your life, disarm your buried bombs. One scripture I want to share is Psalm 95, verses 6 and 7. It says, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. He is our God. We are the people he watches over, the flock under his care. So now's the time to turn your lives over to God. And then the psalmist ends and said, if only you would listen to his voice today. Today. There are so many people that are over across our campus that are adults in regeneration tonight that say this, I wish I would have known all this stuff I'm learning in Regen when I was in high school. Every leader in this room would say that. That's why they're here. I wish I had this stuff when I was in high school. And so they're here trying to teach you. So you have a chance. You're in high school. Now you know. Will you listen and respond to God today? So how do you clear your life of buried bombs? Healthy people disarm buried bombs by digging deep, digging everywhere. You take an inventory by bringing in a bomb squad. You confess it, and then you do it today. You don't wait before you build. So letter A, H is help. E is entirely trust God. A is assess the situation. That's what you do when you do an inventory. You courageously and thoroughly examine your lives and invite others to walk with you. Let me pray that you guys would do that in the 45 minutes you have up in your group. Lord, I pray that you'd give everyone in this room courage in this next 45 minutes and in the hour and 15 they'll have next week when they're together to do everything that they can to disarm the buried bombs in their life. I pray that you give them strength as they dig deep and dig everywhere. And it's sad and it's emotional and it's draining and it's upsetting. I pray that you would give them strength and that they could be a source of support and encouragement to each other. They could be a bomb squad that helps them experience your love and your grace and your mercy and your truth. They could speak that into each other's lives. And I pray that they would not wait, that they wouldn't have to go to regeneration when they're adults because they learn to trust and follow you and walk the steps of healing today. So I pray that you would help everyone in this room do that. In Jesus' name, amen.